Amen. You may be seated in the name of the Lord. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? If I can draw your attention to verse 11, really 11, 12, and 13, where David says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not turn me over to the desire of my foes. False witnesses rise up against me, breathing out violence, spouting malicious accusations. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." It's just, it's a great prayer, really. There's all kinds of prayers to pray and prayers in the Bible. I don't know if I ever really saw it this clearly before, but here at the end of verse 27, David, and really, he starts off by saying, "The Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear?" But in the end, he starts talking to God, and he prays some things that I think are powerful. I just want to highlight them just for a second. First thing he says is he's saying, "Lord, teach me." So he's saying to the Lord, "Lord, I actually want you to teach me. As great as it is for the pastor to teach me, I want the Lord to teach me. As great as it is for a preacher to teach me, I want the Lord to teach me. Great as it is for a mentor to teach me or for a teacher to teach me something, I want to get to a place where my relationship with God is close enough in which I can say, Lord, I actually want you to instruct me. Lord, I actually want you to talk to me. I want to make sure that the lines of communication are open so that, God, you're teaching me. Teach me your way and teach me your roads. Teach me your paths. Teach me the way that I'm supposed to go. Teach me how to go how you would go. Teach me the road that I'm supposed to be on. Teach me the manner. Teach me your manner. Teach me your ways. God, teach me how you get stuff done and how this thing works with God involved in it. And teach me how to be a believer living in the world. And Lord, instruct me and teach me not just the road I should take or the path that I should take, but God, the manner in which I should carry myself, teach me. It's just a powerful prayer. It says, lead me in a straight path. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. The second part of the prayer, I'm just kind of mentioning it before I get to my main point. It's just a good thing to say to the Lord is Lord, lead me in a straight path. Lord, lead me in the way that's the quickest way there. Lord, lead me in the path that is the shortest way to get there. My wife and I were dropping our sons off into this prep academy, this prep program that they're in. And it's so funny with GPS and the Google Maps and all of it. When we got to the road, and then we could see on the map, on the GPS, how the house was right over. If we could have drove straight, we would have got to the house in less than 2 minutes, but we had to take a left and then go down the side road. And by the time we looped all the way around, and it added another 5 minutes, if we could have gotten straight through the woods, we'd have been there in 2 minutes. We couldn't go the straight way because the roads didn't go that way. And it's, Lord, lead me in the straightest path possible. Lead me in the path without the least amount of mistakes and things that slow me down and distractions. Lead me in a straight path. Lead me the quickest way there because of my oppressors. And to me, third part of that prayer is, Lord, be aware of my enemies. Be aware that everybody ain't for me. Lead me in a straight path because everybody's not cheering for me to win. There are some people that are cheering for me to win, but there are some people that actually aren't happy about where I am and aren't happy about what's about to happen in my life. And I want to get there as quickly as possible because I'm aware of my oppressors. I'm aware of the enemies that are around me. Lord, help me to be aware of my enemies. Lord, help me to be aware of who's on my side and not who's not on my side. I've got a new book that I just finished, and I'm going to be releasing actually very, very beginning of October, and I'll be talking to you more about it. But one of the things that I talk about in the book is kind of knowing who's for you and knowing who's against you, knowing who Goliath is and making sure you don't marry Goliath. Because it's possible that Goliath is there for you to defeat him, for you to get another weapon, for you to go on to your journey of what the Lord is leading you to do. But it's also possible for you to be in love with the people that don't like you. It's possible for them to infect you with a sickness to try to gain their approval, an approval you will never gain. I've come to a place in my life in which I've understood everybody's not going to like you. And there are going to be some people that will never be for you. They will never cheer for you. They can make you think, you can almost think, if I just do this, then they'll like me. If I just get to this place of success, they'll finally have to admit, I don't know if you've ever done it, but I've gotten to places of success. And the same people that didn't like you before like you even less now that you've gotten to your place. And so it is possible, and I've seen people's lives sidetracked by their inability to let go of the person that always finds fault with them. Help me. Help me to be aware of my enemies. Lord, don't turn me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. David is saying to God, people lie. People lie. It's amazing that we live in a world in which we're so aware of what everybody says. Praise God for it. But with all of our technological events, for whatever reason, we have lost sight of the fact that it's absolutely possible for somebody to be lying. Men lie. Don't nobody want to say amen on that one. Men lie. People lie. Men lie. It's absolutely possible for somebody to lie. Women lie. Oh, can't get no amen in here. Women lie. Women don't always tell the truth. Don't. Children lie. Of course they do. Children lie. That there's false accusations and stuff that just because somebody says something about somebody don't mean it's true. Just because somebody says something about me or you, especially anyone that someone knows, we live in a world now in which people can make money off of a lie. And so David is saying, Lord, you know a part of the way that I'm even dealing with oppression is through folk who tell lies and folk who spread falsehood and folk who spread rumor. Help us, Holy Ghost. We love a little juicy piece of something that we're not really quite sure is true, but we're going to tell somebody, well, you know what I heard? I heard they only wear two left shoes. And we always want to share something that we haven't quite. We make up statistics, and we just, to try to lend credence to who we are, it's just the Lord. I love David's awareness to say, Lord, there's enemies out here, and a part of the way that they attack us is through falsehood. And then verse 13, where David says, he goes from praying to say, I will remain confident in this. I will remain confident. Matter of fact, if you know in the King James Version, in verse 13, David says, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'd have given up unless I had somehow garnered my ability to believe that I would see goodness while I'm still alive. I would have lost my mind unless I had got around some people of God, got into the house of God, got into a service, somebody hollered, I'd have fainted unless I had found my faith buried down in the bottom of myself. They made me go to church, and I didn't want to go. But you know what? They put a nugget of something down on the inside of me, and I didn't know it was there until all hell broke loose, and I'd have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have gave up. but my faith came alive. Help us, Holy Ghost. I'd have gave up, but faith came roaring back. I would have let go, but my faith wouldn't let me let it go. I would have fainted. I would have lost it all unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, unless I had believed that I was on my way somewhere, unless I had believed that what I'm dealing with right now is temporary. Can I speak it over somebody? I'd have fainted unless I believed, well, this is where I am right now, but this is not where I'm going to end up. I would have fainted unless I believed unless I had this question of, yeah, well, but am I there yet? Are we there yet? Am I at the place where God wants me to be? As long as he's not going to leave me here, it's okay. I'd have fainted unless this is my final destination. But if this is just my on my way somewhere, can you let me know, are we there yet? Can we? I'd have gave up unless I believed that this thing was a journey. All year I've been preaching on us being on a journey. Last year I've been preaching on us being, last 3 years, if you've been paying attention, you've been coming to the church, I've been preaching about us being on a journey. You can be on this earth and serve it as time, or you can be on this earth and think, okay, I'm on a journey. I'm on my way somewhere. This is not where I'm going to end up, and I may not be where I want to be, but I'm not where I'm going to be. I'm not where I was, but I'm not. I may not be where I want to be, but I've moved on. I can look back and see where I was then, not where I am right now, and I'm on my way to a place. I'd have given up unless I believed that while I was still in the earth, I would see some change. I'd have gave up, but I had to hold on to that idea that I'm actually on a journey. And because of that mindset, I'm trust you're gathering in. Y'all, come Wednesday night. Trust you're really getting in. I know some of you first time, but I trust that you're getting my heart in it, because when I think about this is a journey and life is a journey, my marriage is a journey and having children is a journey and my career is a journey and studying the Bible is a journey and who I was when I first got saved and who I am now, it's a journey. Being in the ministry, it's a journey. I'm still on my way somewhere. It's very easy for me to say, I'm so sorry, please forgive me. I am not where I'm going to be. So it's a journey. When I realize that there is a journey that we are all on, individual ones of us at different places in our journey, and I can make this journey with him by my side, when I realize that, it just makes me focus on these pieces of this prayer of what I said, and it makes me realize all the more that the greatest miracle in my life is his leadership. Greatest miracle. Of all the miracles I'm asking for, of all the blessings I can ask for, that the greatest real miracle that can happen in my life is for me to hear his voice. The greatest miracle that can ever happen is for the Lord to be my light and my salvation, for the Lord to be the stronghold of my life, not a one-time moment, but for him to actually be a part of leading me and guiding me. And that when I realize that, and I said this in the notes, and I throw it up, that when God is more than just a power source, he's a path source. When God is more than just a power source, he's a path source. Yeah, of course, Pastor Andy, because this is your vision. You say this on a regular basis. It's right. It's my vision that it's God designing my life, God being more than just power in a moment, but for the Lord to be a sustainer and then to actually give me direction and lead me, it makes me see Psalm 23 in a totally different way. In essence, when I look at Psalm 23, and I know Psalm 23, and I asked how many of us knew Psalm 23, and 90% of us raised our hands. I'm telling you that when I look at Psalm 23, what I really do see now is the benefits of the shepherd, the benefits of the Lord being my shepherd, that I'm basically am stating, yeah, the Lord is my shepherd, more than him just being power, more than him just being miracle worker, more than him just being way maker, promise keeper, light in the darkness, that I realize that There is a shepherd role that he plays in my life. And he's more than just a power source. He's actually a path source. And that there are benefits to a shepherd relationship with him. There's benefits to me to more than just me stopping in here once every year or so, or once every now and then for a service. That if I got a benefit from the one-time thing, what would happen if I actually got consistent with him? That really Psalm 23 is breaking down for us what happens when you decide to let God be your guide. This God is our God, and he shall be our guide even to the very end of the age. That I'm looking for him to lead me and guide me, to be a shepherd over my life, to have a consistent relationship with him. When I'm interested in covenant with him, there are benefits that I gain in that. And when I look at Psalm 23, and I love finding new things in passages that are familiar to me, but we basically see the benefits of the Lord being your shepherd, and I'm just going to break them down for you as quickly as I can. I've got several of them, and I'll share as many of as I can and see what the Lord says to us tonight. Anybody hear anything from the Lord tonight? You're awake. All right. So what are the benefits of the Lord being my shepherd? What are the benefits of actually walking consistently in a relationship with God? What are the benefits of not just saying, okay, let me just get a one-time moment? What are the benefits of the covenant, benefits of the consistency of it? First, number one, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, that my needs are met. Provision is the first benefit of the shepherd. As a result of this shepherd relationship, there's provision. My needs are met. My Lord is my shepherd. I want nothing. Lord is my shepherd. He provides what I need. I may not have everything that I want, but I have what I need. I may not have everything I want. I know I'm not the only one. I may not have everything I want, but somehow my needs are met. As a result of walking with him consistently, that for everyone that's looking for God to miracle ways for them, well, a part of what that comes from is the consistency of the commitment of covenant, him being the shepherd. Since he's the shepherd, he's in charge of what I need. But even more than that, he meets a need that is bigger than stuff. Having a conversation with my sons the other day, and I was saying to them, you're going to get to a point in which you realize that there's more than just one way to be blessed. So sure, there's a blessing to fun, but I would contend that there's a blessing to getting work done. Sure, there's a blessing to this party moment, but there's a real blessing to graduating and actually owning your own stuff. And so you have to realize there's more than one path to blessing. Sure, there's a blessing living with me, but there's really a blessing living in your own house, eating your own ice cream. It's a blessing to that I realize that even as much as stuff matters, it doesn't matter as much as him. I went I was on a trip somewhere, and I landed in a place, and I set up a meeting to counsel a couple that's in the ministry. They came to meet me, and they're having some challenges, like so many people are having challenges in their relationship. It's just a part of what I'm doing now, counseling pastors and pastoring pastors and helping some of them in their marriages. And it was interesting when they pulled up to pick me up, the car that they were in, man, that car was blinging. I don't even want to say that was the shiniest, brand new, most banging, most popping, happening car. And I just thought, wow, this car is amazing. Too bad your marriage is so messed up in it. So as I started to delve into how much they both work and how much money they're both making, like, I could tell y'all are making a whole lot of money just from this car. And it's like his job and his career and this other job, and she got this and another thing going on. And I'm like, all of this is great, but what does it profit you to gain all of this and lose each other? There's more to life than just stuff. That the Lord is my shepherd, and he has taught me that things don't always always make you happy. Good God, I wish I had a witness in the building. Not to say that I don't want things, but I began to tell them about how my wife and I, we first were together. We was young. We was both in school and both working and both trying to make money and both, and we basically were kind of not at each other's throats, but stuff just wasn't all that great. And we sat down and said, okay, listen, what's more important, us being together or having two cars? See how quiet it got? We decided, okay, she was gonna work less, and I was gonna. We were gonna. She was gonna say, "Man, we went and got a hoopty. Didn't you find the thing for our very first hoopty? We went and got a hoopty. We just figured, hey, listen, it would be better for us to be together and have peace than blinging and." Okay, anyway, that the Lord is my shepherd and that provision is a part. My needs are met, and a part of how my needs are met are just in my relationship with him. Number two, in verse two, it says, he makes me lie down. So the second thing that I get in him being my shepherd is compulsion. Compulsion. He compels me. He compels me. As a result of him being shepherd, he gonna make me do stuff that I wouldn't normally do. Well, help us, Holy Ghost. It's going to be some compulsion. What is this? I can feel deep down inside. What is this? Whatever it is, it won't let me hold my peace. It makes me love my enemies. It makes me forgive people. It won't let me. It makes me tell the world. What is this? There's a fire. There's some stuff. The only reason I have done it is because I'm saved. I wish I had a witness in the building. Every now and then I'll have to say this, you've bumped up into the saved part of me, and the only reason why I didn't knock you out is because the Lord won't let me. The only reason why I said I'm sorry is because the Lord won't let me. The Holy Ghost has made me do stuff. I wish I had a witness. Holy Ghost has made me go back in and say sorry. The Holy Ghost has made me apologize. The Holy Ghost has made me deal with people that I wouldn't deal with. There's a compulsion. He makes me. He makes me lie down. He makes me rest. He makes me do stuff. I was having a conversation on Sunday back in Raleigh, and we were having a conversation with someone, and I was saying to them, and they were just saying it back to me. Even though I preached the sermon and they heard the sermon, we were ministering to each other on the floor because I was telling them how there's so many things that the Lord has led me to blessing just through pain. He has hurt my feelings and got me where he wanted me to get to. He has made people reject me and got me. The only reason why I'm in North Carolina is because of all the hell that broke loose. He made me come here. He shut every other door, and this was the only place I could be. If it was up to me, this would not have been my plan. I had it all planned out, and the Lord made me do stuff. And I'm so glad that he has a plan for me. I'm so glad that he'll make me if he has to, because he knows what's best for me. And if he's got to, he'll make me do stuff because he's my shepherd. He's not just somebody I'm renting. I'm actually in a relationship with him, and the relationship makes me do stuff. There's some compulsion in there that's in the benefit of him being my shepherd. Number three, he makes me lie down. He leads me beside quiet waters. The third benefit that I have from him being my shepherd is direction. He directs me. He directs me. He points. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. I love the fact that this new NIV says that he leads me in right paths. He directs me. Now, this main thing I'm asking God for, and I said all of this because I'm saying, Lord, lead me in the right way. Lord, lead me in the right path. I know I'm not the only one that's at the end of what I know how to do. I was just having a conversation with a consultant earlier today, and I was saying, listen, what I know how to do, I've done. When you're talking to me, because they're talking to me, I'm like, when you're talking to me, you don't have to be sensitive. You don't have to apologize. You don't have to stroke my ego. I know what I don't know. What I know, I have done. I'm only going to pay you if you're going to tell me something I don't already know. I am ready for someone to lead and direct so I can get there as quick as I need to, because I'm running out of time and I don't have long to stay here and I don't have another minute and another dime to waste on somebody. Good God. Have another dime to waste on somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about. I want direction. And I'm praying, Lord, direct me. Lord, lead me. Lord, order my steps. A part of the benefit I get from the shepherd is direction. Number four, he says at the end of verse three, he restores my soul. Restoration is one of the benefits of him being the shepherd. He restores my soul. He restores my soul. That Hebrew word there for restoration means reset to the original state. So that when God is my shepherd, not just a one-time rental, when God is my shepherd, he'll say, you know what I'll do? I will take your soul. I will take the emotional thinking inner you, not your spirit, but your mind and your soul, and I will reset that thing for you. I'll restore your soul. And I don't know about you, but I need my soul restored, because there are things that mess with your soul. There are things that violate your soul. Just like something can scar your body, something can scar your soul. Something can mess with your soul, and you need your soul renewed. I need God to reach in there and boop, put his finger on my soul and reset it back to the original state that it was in. When I was talking to this consultant today, I was saying to them how I've had so many people come and tell me what they can do, and they weren't able to do it. But I want you to know that I'm ready to believe again. If you've ever been burnt, it's going to take something to believe again. If you've ever been betrayed, it takes something to believe again. And the worst thing that can ever happen to you is for your soul to get jacked up in the process. But there are things that violate your soul. Violence. I'm going to give you a list. Things that violate your soul. Violence violates your soul. People go to war and post-traumatic stress, and their soul is messed up. They need a soul. They come back, they can't sleep. They need their soul restored. Violence violates your soul. Sexual assault violates your soul. Somebody bothering you, messing with you, molesting you, it messes with your soul, with that emotional part of you. Betrayal violates your soul. Violates your soul. Verbal abuse violates your soul. Somebody dog you enough and tease you enough and bully you enough and call you enough of a name and speak, they can wreck your self-esteem so much that the way you feel about you is messed up. Your soul has been violated. Your regrets can violate your soul. That's why we all have to be careful about mistakes, because mistakes will rest with you, and mistakes will keep you up at night. And just regretting how you blew it and regretting how you messed up can mess with your soul. The Lord acknowledges that stuff can violate my soul. So he says, right, so I'm a soul restorer. Oh, God, have your way. So on a regular basis, I'm saying, Lord, restore my soul. Lord, get my soul back to the original state it was before folks started messing with it. Get my soul back to the place it was before I was abused, before I was hurt, before I was lied on, before I was betrayed, before my trust was violated. Lord, give me that soul back. The Lord is my shepherd. He refreshes my soul. He restores my soul. And then the fifth thing, and I'm out of time, but he says in verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you're with me. Number 5, the fifth benefit of him being the shepherd is illumination. Illumination. As a result of him being my shepherd, I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm not afraid of the dark. When I say I'm not afraid of the dark, since the Lord is my shepherd, I'm not afraid of the dark. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I'm not afraid of evil. Evil can't get me. Lord is my shepherd. Not worried about evil, not worried about hexes, not worried about putting no curse on me, hoogees, and not worried about that. The Lord is my shepherd, so evil cannot befall me. So I'm not worried about the dark. I'm not worried about the evil. I'm not worried about the wicked who the enemy unleashes against me. I'm not worried about that because the Lord is my shepherd. I fear no evil. I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm not afraid of the dark, meaning I'm not afraid of the end. Dark is the end of the day. I'm not afraid of the end. Things don't last forever. I can acknowledge that was then, this is now. It's a different time. I'm not afraid of the end. I'm not afraid for my life to end because I know where I'm going to go. But I'm not afraid of the end of a season. I'm not afraid to be older. Help us, Holy Ghost. I mean, I'm only going to go, but so I'm where am I eat right, where am I? But I'm only going to go, so if I'm not injecting collagen and all this stuff, there's nothing wrong with me moving on because there is a beginning and an end. And since the Lord is my shepherd, the end doesn't bother me. I'm not afraid of the dark. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm not afraid of the evil because God is with me. I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm not afraid of ambiguity. I'm not afraid of the dark. I'm not afraid of ambiguity. I'm not afraid to not be sure. I'm not afraid of the fact that I may not be sure. I don't know. I found out my house is worth something. I'm going to sell it. Where are you going to live? I don't know. I'll figure it out. I thought it was going to take me longer to sell it than it did, but somebody bought it in 2 weeks. Wow, now what you going to do? I don't know. But ambiguity doesn't scare me because the Lord is my shepherd. I'll land. I'll be all right. Well, I'm going to step on out and start my own thing. Oh, my God, you're going to start your own business. You're going to do this. How are you going to make it? I don't know. But here's the thing. Since God is my shepherd, ambiguity don't bother me like it used to. I fear no evil because you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'll go to a place where nobody else is, and you'll comfort me. I'll go into a situation I have no experience in, and you'll comfort me. I'll try something new. I'm not afraid of the dark. Just because I ain't never walked in there before doesn't mean God won't protect me. I don't only have to be in situations where I'm comfortable and I can get outside of my comfort zones. I can get into an arena or into an area in which I have no real expertise, and I'll learn on the job because the Lord is my shepherd and I'm not afraid of the dark. There's just too many believers scared of the dark. Too many believers scared of new. Scared to meet new people and scared to have new friends and scared to have new experiences and scared to pick up a book of something you don't know nothing about. If the Lord is your shepherd, then the dark don't bother you. Well, what you gonna do? I don't know. The Lord will show me when I get there. Where are you going? I don't really know. But I'm sure in love with the journey. It's not just the destination, it's the ride. And I've learned to hold his hand and believe it'll all work out after a while. Oh, good God, help us, Holy Ghost. I don't know if you're one of these people. I'm believing that you will be. Or if you've ever been around one of these people that they don't know how it's going to happen. You're saying, how's it? Wait a minute, how are you going? They're just like, I don't know. I can't wait to see how God is going to turn this thing around. I can't wait to see. But how are you going to get there? You know, I don't really know, but I got comfortable with the dark. The dark don't make me uncomfortable no more. I've walked through the dark enough and got to where I was supposed to get to. And so because he's with me, dark places don't scare me. And just because I look down the corridor and say, "Woo, Lord, I don't know how that's going to happen." There's a whole lot of folk look down that and say, "Woo, I don't know how that's going to happen. I'm not going nowhere down there." But if the Lord is your shepherd and more than just a every now and then God, you will look right down that path and say, "Yep, I'm going right. That is exactly where I actually believe that is the quickest way. That is, and yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil because the Lord is with me. He saw me through before. He will see me through again. He brought me out, he'll bring me farther. He didn't bring me out for me to go backwards. He didn't bring me out for me to take the long way going the way I know. I'm ready to go in a way I have no idea about. God, have your way. That the Lord is my illumination. He lights the darkness. He's placed an inner light in me. I have an inner light. I have an inner light. I can get all around all heathens and say, excuse me for a second, and go over here and have my own little Holy Ghost party. I don't have to only be around saints. I can have my own Holy Ghost party with my own inner light. Just because everybody at the company is a heathen don't mean you still can't love the Lord. You can be in the dark place if you have an inner light. The Lord is my light and my salvation. And then as a result of him being the shepherd, there are these benefits that I have to him being the shepherd. Actually, now look at it now. I got 10 of them, and you only got the first 5. So you will have to come back next Wednesday night. If you want the last 5, put your hands together. If you heard a word from the Lord, jump on your feet. Man, we're over time. Reach out, grab somebody's hand. Let's pray for one another. This Friday night, 7 o'clock sharp. You don't want to be late. It's not even going to be any worship. It's not a service. Someone came and asked me, can I invite somebody that's not saved or that doesn't go to the church? I said, absolutely. It's not going to be overly Christian, Jesus, Jesus. It's a relationship conference. And you certainly can invite someone who doesn't know the Lord. And the doors are kind of opening at 6 and reception kind of a thing. It really gets started at 7. But you can come early. You can come straight from work and grab a little munchie or something. We'll be here just kind of hanging out. It's kind of like a pre-reception kind of a thing. But then 7 o'clock, we're going to get into it and share some great information. And still not too late for you to come. Still not too late for you to register. And you can register at the door, right, Colin? Register at the door? Yeah? Register at the door. But it would help if you let us know you're coming. But we're prepared for you. Amen. Lord, we just want to thank you. Thank you for Wednesday night service. Thank you for the consistency of the fellowship of the saints. Thank you for the communion that we have in the Holy Spirit. Thank you for the opportunity that we have to break the bread of the Word of God and gain light and insight. Thank you that the entrance of your Word does shed light. And as we walk in the light, as you're in the light, we actually have fellowship with one another. And your blood cleanses us from all sin. Thank you for living so big in us today. Thank you for speaking to us and through us. Thank you for the worship and the Word and babies we dedicated to family power. Have your way in us. Dismiss us from this place. Bring us back Friday night, Lord. Those that are coming for this relationship conference that we're having Saturday morning, Sunday, Lord God, as we have church and worship the Lord, promise to honor you. And God, as we always pray, bless your people and make your face shine upon them and give them peace. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. We all said together, amen. God bless you. Greet somebody in the name of the Lord. Give somebody a holy hug. You are dismissed. God bless you. God bless you.